Coming up on TMS, Scott's teeth really do suck.
Black burgers really are as gross as they sound.
The naked phone pic leaker says he feels like his privacy has been violated.
She wants to talk to her old high school.
The Palins are involved in a drunken snowmobile fight.
Major spoilers.
V for video games.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
At his luxurious country estate, Anthony Stark, millionaire industrialist and inventor, prepares to depart for Washington.
The senator should be making the announcement just about now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Anthony Stark has agreed to testify before my committee. He will make the secret of Iron Man's invulnerable armor available to the free world.
Cat and chicken porn.
The Morning Stream is battle-tested bayonets, bro.
Okay. Real quick, two things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sorry. I'm not going to intro the show just yet. I'm just going to make a comment here.
Sure. Hey, do whatever.
When I read the first line, or I read the line about that phone leak picker at the top of the show, your Skype decided to do the weirdest thing. The chat room will know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And it was hauntingly weird how your laugh came over to me. It came over like repeated four times. I can't even explain it. I'll pull it out later.
Deadpool. Yeah, no kidding. It's like that lag laugh was epic. Yeah. Whoa, Max Headroom.
It was
awesome.
Someone
tapped that and sent it to Scott. I swear, copy.
And
like
it was
that.
Just the laugh. The rest of it was fine. Like, it was just the laugh. And it felt ethereal, like I was in a different world, a different dimension. And then you came back and read your thing. It was the weirdest thing.
Nice.
Very
odd.
Oh,
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. I don't remember what the second thing was. I don't remember. I was going
to
tell you something else.
Have to do with Iron Man?
No. Anthony Stark. It's back before they started calling him Tony. That was probably considered too forward back then.
Anthony Stark.
Yeah, he's giving us the secret to his iron. Was it always the deal? Not to get all comic booky on people, but did Tony Stark always have his secret identity was always out? Was it never hidden?
No, it was hidden for... I thought it was hidden for a while. I thought...
All right, because that thing
started out hidden.
Because that was episode one in the 1966 animated series for Iron Man, mm-hmm. where he's out and in the open, and I thought he was by day Tony Stark, by night Iron Man, and he seemed to be all in the open, and I thought that was something they cracked open in the first movie, but not until
movie wise they cracked it open, but until. He kind of became the public face of the Avengers in the comic books.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a secret identity thing.
So maybe the show just took liberties and decided to be... Because that clip indicated that the senator knew who Tony Stark was and that his magic armor would be talked about or whatever.
Well, but he's the inventor. He's been known as the inventor of the armor, but that Iron Man was... Yeah, somebody points out that his bodyguard, ironic name, mentions that in the comics, Iron Man was quote-unquote his bodyguard.
Oh.
And that explains why. Oh, they're always together, and oh, you.
Are there any storylines where the armor is a straight up robot? That would be cool.
Yes. Oh, quite often. Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's even in the movies, you had several.
Oh, that's three.
Several of Tony's old armor versions came. Were independently operable.
In fact, in that third movie, Scott Kurtz pointed out on Comic Dorks at comicdorks.com. Subscribe today. He pointed out that. That entire third movie, everybody was Iron Man except Tony Stark, basically.
Except Tony Stark? Was he?
Because really he remote-controlled most of them. He was only in the suit briefly. Pepper Potts spent more time in a suit. Don Cheadle over there. He was more Iron Man than even Tony Stark was. Like, way more Iron Men everywhere except Tony Stark. Weird. Isn't that a weird choice? That movie's
weird,
a little weird. That third movie, a little weird. It's a little odd. I liked it at the time. It was fine. I never knew what was coming. But it was fine, whatever, a good entertaining time. But there's some weird things at that movie. It's a little weird.
I gotta watch that again. I mean, I remember enjoying it. I remember the whole, he's out in Fargo, North Dakota in the snow with the little kid while crap is going on back at home.
Yeah, Peter Stormare shot him in the head and then drove off with Steve Buscemi. It was great. It's an amazing scene.
Shot him in the face.
Right in the face. You know, there's a lot of face shooting in that movie, now that you mention it. All right. So, hey, what's going on, everybody? It's the Morning Stream. It's Monday, September 15th, 2014. And I am precisely less than 1 week away from the marriage of my daughter.
Less than 1 week.
Yep.
If you had to be exact.
Yep. This coming Saturday morning is the big day. Yeah. And she will no longer be Taylor Elaine Johnson. She will be Taylor Elaine Johnson Straw. She'll be marrying one Dylan Straw, who is a super cool dude and a nice kid. And
Did his family invent the straw?
They did. And it's the Bendy Straw. The Bendy Straw.
Bendy.
Yeah. So his middle name is Bendy.
Was Benji Straw.
Yeah, Benji Straw. I need to tell him that bad joke. He would enjoy that. So they're nervous and excited, and everyone's nervous and excited. I'm in a weird place, Brian. I kind of just want it to be over, and I want it to be over, not because I'm not excited about everybody's happiness or they're branching out into new life together. All that stuff is very cool. I just know from experience that this thing that seems like this giant day is kind of, it's a big deal. I know it is a big deal, but in the larger scheme of things, what's going to matter more is the week after and the week after that and the month after that and 10 years from now. Like, that stuff's going to matter more.
Sure.
And I just want everyone to get on with it, you know, like.
But there's not as much preparation for the week after and the month after and the year after, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's when it's kind of the day to day, like, all right, we're getting a house. Oh, we got to pick up we need a new dishwasher, or we need, to paint the front of the house or whatever.
Yep.
That all just happens, and it's, you've got, you know, you just deal with it as it comes, and there's no big production.
No, there's none at all.
Saturday is the big production.
It's all production at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually the way it'll work around here is you'll get, like when I got married, we got married in the morning, ceremony in the morning, and then we did a big open reception at night that same day. So you're done with it that day. But now the trend around here, get married on one day, reception a different day. I don't know why. To me, it's like the prom deal that exists in Utah now. And I can't speak for other areas. So if everyone else is doing this, great. More power to you. But when I grew up, here's how it went, Brian. I went to the girl's house and we did some creative way of asking the girl to prom, right? I put a toilet on their front doorstep with a bunch of Hershey Kisses in it.
Oh, you old softy.
I know, right?
With a bunch of Hershey's Kisses in it?
Yeah, in the toilet. A new toilet. It wasn't like an old toilet.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was one of our creative ways to do it. And they were all unwrapped Hershey's Kisses. Took us all night
to
do it.
Of course they would be. Yeah.
Me and my buddies. Anyway, we had that thing full of Hershey Kisses, and they had to dig down to the bottom of the thing to find the request to go on the date. And it had some gross reference, you know, whatever. It was just some goofy thing.
Right.
So, and everybody did these creative ways of doing it. Well, that was it. You did that, and if the dance...
I made you reach through a mile of shit to ask you to the prom on the other side.
Exactly. We just want the prom date! Anyway, so you dig through the poop, and you get the thing, and you go. And it's Friday night. It rolls around. You put on your tux or your whatever, and you pick the girl up, and you go out, and you have dinner, and then you do the dance, and there's your date, okay? Today, that's all changed now. The kids in high school and my daughter, when she went through all this, and my now daughter now, who's old enough to do all this, they do the complicated asking. That's still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
They still have the dance night and the actual, you know, date night thing. But all of it has a mandatory day date now, where they go to, I don't know, a water park all afternoon.
Really?
Yeah. Like, the whole day is dedicated now. And everyone does it. They all feel the pressure to do it. It has become de facto standard. I know. I don't know when it happened. I don't know when it flipped over.
That's nuts. So they do the all in the same day. So like, they go to the water park, get freaking sunburned accidentally, and then have to try and put on a tux with the solar cane on them.
Sure. They get hand, foot, mouth from the hot tub or whatever is going on. They spend all day just, you know, roasting in the whatever. Or, you know, it could be bowling or it could be anything. But the point is, the dude no longer just pays for dinner and the prom tickets and stuff. The dude pays for a day date. And it seems like this weird pressure. Like, it's not required by anything I've seen. It's just kids are all doing it and they feel like they have to. So it's really weird. I don't understand it.
That's a new thing. No, I'm not at all familiar with that.
Yeah, and it's not. I'm guessing Tristan's not doing this in high school. No.
No, not to my knowledge. As a matter of fact, the extravagant way to ask someone to the prom, I don't remember that happening here. I mean, I went to the prom with three different women, like one during my junior year. Women. She was a senior. And then
I like that they're women. Yeah, keep going.
Two are gay girls. Two during my senior year, one at my school and then one at her school.
I picture these like mature 34-year-old women going,
"Hey, can I? I'm going to go out and have a smoke. You go ahead and dance to Men Without Hats. I'll be back in a second.
These stockings are riding up my legs like nobody's business." That's
you and your friends go get some punch. I'll pull the car up front.
I'm going to miss the 3 a.m. train to Nutley. It reminds me of that lady on Futurama. So you didn't even have that so much. That's interesting.
We just did ask, you know, I just asked them. They said yes. It wasn't like a big, you know, show up at their door wearing a tuxedo and boxer briefs or something like that. It was,
We
also didn't ask via YouTube.
Right.
I don't remember people asking celebrities to the prom back when I was a kid.
When you were a child.
Nobody asked Bar Raffaelli to the prom. Nobody asked Kate Upton to the prom.
Nope. Her torso is too weird. So here's the thing, though. This is translated into these new wedding traditions, is my point. Now they have the two-day deal. So our reception thing is a separate day. And I asked them, I said, why are we doing it this way? Oh, this is the way people are doing it now, Dad. Oh, geez. So I got to separate my fatherly anxieties into two separate days now.
And okay, again, not common.
I agree. I don't think it's common at all.
Most like, you know, in every situation I've seen, I've gone to a couple weddings in the last couple of years, it's been wedding reception same day.
Yeah. I think it's local. I think this is a local construct. I really do.
That's nuts. And I don't like it. Don't do it, people.
I don't like it. No, I know. We should stand against it. But here we are doing it. And I have nothing in. You know, I mean, all I get. Oh, Brian, I got to share this. Oh, my gosh. I got to share this one with you. Not only did this story I'm about to tell you have something to do with music, which you'll appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a. Oh, I have to spill this. Okay, you ready? Here goes.
Okay. All right. Oh, gosh. I can't wait.
All right. So there's been all this. Look, the entire wedding, everyone else has planned it. Everybody but me, okay? I've stayed out of it. I'm like, you know what? I trust all the women to do the wives and the mothers.
Tell me where to go, where to show
right,
up,
right? Where
to
do I
wear,
stand? Exactly.
It's all on you, yeah.
I got a suit. I got that. I'm covered. I'm good. I know how to put that on. I know how to tie a tie. I know where to show up. Done. Scott has done his part. They're all the decorations and the planning and the hoo-ha and the photography and everything else. They're doing everything else. Great. Yesterday, Taylor walks up to me, and she says, I was with her future mother-in-law, and we've picked the song for the daddy-daughter dance. Okay. Now that's fine if it's a good song. Whatever. You can pick it. I go,
please let it be Wrecking Ball. Please let it be Wrecking Ball.
I go, what did you pick? It's worse. I go, what did you pick? And she goes, well, I didn't really pick it. Her mother-in-law picked it. I said, whoa.
Oh, even better.
I go, that's a little weird. That's a little weird, but okay. What is it?
Here's the dance that you're going to be dancing with your dad.
Here's the song. Do you feel the love tonight from the Lion King?
Right. Oh, that's a little weird.
No way in hell that song is being played while I am out there dancing for the one piece that is mine. The one moment that I get to have that is the tradition that's mine. Right. You're not going to say, you do not get to dictate that I'm going to go out and sing, do you feel the love tonight? It's the worst song ever written ever. Okay, maybe not the worst, but it's bad.
First off, it's Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Sorry, did I say do?
Yeah.
All right, Can You? It's even worse.
but that's beside the point. You'd be better off like saying, could we at least switch it to the song during The Lion King where where the monkey's holding up the new baby, and you could do that.
Hold Taylor up. Hey! See, I'd be into that. That'd be all right. So here's for those not familiar, let's just let me get to the part here. Skip ahead.
Here's the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is the song? Yeah.
It was all set up.
So many things to tell her.
Oh, gosh, dude. Gosh dang it. It belongs in a cartoon. I'm down with that. It is not. There's no way. So I told her last night, I said, there is no way, Taylor, I am doing that. She goes, all right, well, give me some alternatives. I said, absolutely, I will. And if you get any heat on this, this is the one time my foot is firmly being put down to say that we are not doing that. She goes, well, she really likes that song, and she figures she'll be dancing with Dylan at the same time. I don't care. My Tommy Lee Jones voice.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a little weird.
This is dad-daughter right. dance. I get to pick my freaking song. There's no way it's that. I said, now you can tell me you like something over something else because you're the bride and I'll defer to you. But no way is somebody's mother-in-law. She's fine. Love the mother-in-law. She's great. But she cannot pick. Can you feel the love tonight?
Oh, that is nuts. All right. I get something weird beeping in here and I can't tell where it's coming from.
Oh, it's probably the alarm, man alarm that says Scott's about to lose it. It's probably that.
Hear that? Do you hear that?
Yeah. What was that? It sounds like a UPS. It's starting to go south.
Have one in here.
Oh, that is weird. I thought it was me.
Trying to triangulate it.
It's like an episode of something.
God, it's like it comes, it's like different directions. Oh, it's Tristan's computer.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, 1 second.
All right. All right, So chat room, I'm not wrong. I haven't been watching you guys react. I'm not wrong, right? There's no way that song's going to be, you know, there's no way. No butterfly kisses, dude. That ain't happening. She's already said there's no way that song goes anywhere near her wedding. I wouldn't do any Elton John at all of any kind. I don't like Elton John music post when he was wearing the big giant platform shoes and the crazy, his weird 70s phase, you know, Yellow Brick Road, that kind of stuff. That stuff's great. Everything beyond that, like all his like Disney days and all that, forget it. The man not only makes music I can't stand listening to since then, but he also looks exactly like my mother. He's the spitting image of my mother. So for me to try to take that seriously and dance to that with my daughter on a thing for the one time in our existence where I get to do this thing with her, no, that'd be like dancing with my daughter to my mother singing Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Forget it.
Do you have another song in mind? Like, do you want to make a suggestion?
I'm making a list today. I told her I'd make a list.
I think the tadpole totally can help with that.
If you guys want to submit a bunch of ideas, let's have you.
I got my mind set on you. I think came up.
You guys. Oh, geez. Y'all need to, if you're serious about it, if you got serious ideas, I want you to tweet them at me on the on my Twitter account, @ScottJohnson. Just tweet me your ideas of what you think my song should be. It will not be I'm Too Sexy. Thank you, Captain Kipper. There's no way that'll be happening. No. Aww. Another Jay Martin. I should clarify this. You're right. When my mother in the 60s looked like Charlize Theron, okay, or Throne, however you want to say it. What was Randy using that? What was that name Randy said yesterday that was cracking me up?
Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah, it
Tony
was
Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub.
Anyway,
did I ever tell you about the time that I met Tony Shalhoub in an airport in Nantucket?
Tony Shalhoub. Nantucket. Come on.
Nantucket.
So she looked like Charlize Theron in the 60s. She looks like Elton John now. That's what's going on there. Anyway, I can't do that song. So you guys have suggestions. Great. I'm going to add them to a list, but I am taking charge of this thing. I'm not going to be told what to do.
All right. Throw on your list. Here's my recommendation on your list here.
All right.
Mbop by Hanson.
Yeah. That was already on there. Brilliant choice. Oh my gosh. Okay, no. And also, if anyone says Lady in Red, I'll smack you. I'm not doing that.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, go with like, you know, Tony Bennett. Like,
that's
somebody
what I
suggested
want.
The Way You Look Tonight is a good one because it's not, it doesn't have to be, you know, it's not like, we're a couple and we're in love and we're going to be getting it on later. You know, it's not like a song like that. And that's not what you want to avoid.
Yeah, I don't want that. Nobody wants that.
Yeah. Nobody wants that.
No. I'm down with all this. I don't know if my mom's listening. She looks ex-cammer or scammer, I guess is how you say her name. She listens to the show occasionally. If she heard all that, listen, Charlize Theron, she's a lovely, lovely young woman. And freaking Elton John. He's a lovely old woman. So she's fine. She looks great. Don't worry about it. It's all good. All right. Listen, here's the deal. One last thing. I lost a tooth. Sure.
Yes.
A filling.
Whole tooth?
No, it's a filling. So I have this weird inlay gold, totally like awesome bling thing up top, what I got when I was 18.
So your grill.
Yeah, my
Scott
grill.
Scott Johnson grill.
It's up on the upper right side, and it covers like three teeth. It's like this huge chain reaction of gold. And it's this kind of unprecedented thing. When they first put it in, they weren't sure it was going to hold, but it's held all these years since I was 18 years old. Gold never seems to have a problem for me, except for the other day. I had hot Tai Chi. I had hot chai tea is what I meant to
there
say.
There you go. There it is.
A chai latte thing, and it was super hot, and I was eating bread. And I think the combination of the heat and the bread made it pop out. And I said
the
words in the house.
And the chai mixed with the yeast and the leavening and the bread. And
right. All those, whatever that combination was, made that whole thing fall out. And I swore like I haven't sworn in a long time. I was so pissed. It's like made me so mad to see that thing come out. Went in there, fixed it. Here's the best part of the story. So forget about all that. Went, saw a dentist, new dentist. He was great, whatever. But while I'm waiting, right next to me in the cubicle, dentistry cubicle next to me, there is some disheveled truck driver man who is in there, also not local. He'd been driving through because he's a truck driver.
Sure.
And he was having this pain in his back molar. So he's sitting there, and the doctor's like, yeah, it looks like your tooth might be dying. Looks like this or that. There's some things you could do. You could probably have this filling replaced. Bap, bap, bap. And the guy says, now, Brian, just hold on to your socks for this one.
Oh, God.
The guy says, y'all got, that'd be even better. But he goes, y'all got that animanium? And he goes, the doctor goes, what? Animanium? And he goes, yeah, y'all got that animanium? And he goes, I don't think I understand. He goes, you know, like Wolverine, you got that animanium?
Oh.
He was joking. But he said animanium.
Animanium.
So I had to bite my tongue on two points. One was, that's a stupid joke. Two, you said it wrong.
Right. I guess if you get that, if you get animanium put in, your eyes get super big and you go.
Exactly. And you have a dirty old man sidekick that follows you around everywhere you go.
That's right. Yes.
Anyway, that made me laugh. I had to share that because you're a Wolverine fan. You like Marvel comics, and thought you'd appreciate it. All right.
Animanium.
It's Daryl time.
Yakko and Wacko. You know, animanium.
Yeah, right. And he just would not. And then, but then the doctor's like, he doesn't know. He doesn't even know what the he doesn't know what Wolverine's metal is.
Surprised the truck driver does.
Yeah, that was impressive. He was obviously a fan. All right, it's Star Trek trivia time. It begins with this. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by
Travelers of Storia. It's a brand new 1-4-player fully cooperative dungeon crawling board game. It's an addicting and unique hybrid of elements from both Magic the Gathering and Dungeons & Dragons. Watch the tutorial videos and join the forums for the game at travelersofstoria.com. That's travelersofstoria.com. Support the Kickstarter coming soon.
Sounds good. Daryl's on the phone. He does trivia for Star Trek, blah, 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 blah. Hi, Daryl.
Yeah. Hello. Exactly. What else do we need to tell you?
You guys know
if you haven't been following,
you haven't been paying attention. Daryl, it's good to have you. We're gonna do a little Star Trek trivia. I don't know if you're prepared for that or not, but that's what today is. It's Star Trek Trivia Day. You ready for this?
There is no way to be prepared.
All right. Well, get your animanium in order.
Especially not prepared for this.
Daryl, you got to agree with me, right? No way that song is the dance to song for me and my daughter.
No, no, no. You need something more like 1930.
1930, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Maybe I should truly. No, no, no.
Here's the thing. The DJ comes out, says, all right, it's time for the father-daughter dance. We'll dim the lights here. And then you hear some music swell up. It's been a long road.
No. Oh, no.
Getting from there to here.
That would be so bad. Then you got to have a record player go brruh, 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 and pull it and then play something real. I was thinking it would be fun to do like some kind of 20s swing jazz number. Because those are, and with one of those singer guys that were always like, Like those guys that are just like
yeah,
all muffled out.
You need Seth MacFarlane. Seth MacFarlane does that stuff. Have him go do that.
Actually, he has a couple of songs I wouldn't mind doing.
The album would be perfect. Yeah. If there's anything on there that actually fits the bill.
You know what? Y'all have convinced me that I am totally going to go crooner, though. I think I want to go like Tony Bennett or maybe Sinatra or somebody. Sinatra's just such a dick, though. I think I'll either go Tony Bennett or an old... Oh, who sings Jack Frost, Nipping at Your Nose? Real famous for that one.
Nat King Cole? No. Johnny Mathis?
No. What's his name? He looks like a shriveled up like potato now.
Oh, yeah, the Velvet Fog.
that guy.
Yes. Mel Torme.
Torme. He really does. He looks like a potato. Is he actually with us? I don't know if he's still with us. Oh, by the way, we were talking last night on Film Tag whether or not... what's his name died or not? The monkey. Not the monkey. What's his name? Hold on, I'm going to find it. Somebody just told me this morning, because we were talking on Film Sack, and I made a comment about someone died, and you and Randy were like, no, he's not dead. And it turns out he is dead. He died in 2012.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember talking about somebody being dead, and I can't remember who it was. Oh, Davy Jones.
Davy Jones.
From the Monkees.
Yeah.
Davy Jones is dead?
Yeah, Davy Jones died. Yeah, he died like 2 years ago. Oh. Davy Jones. Hold on, Jones. I want to make sure, though. Yeah, death. Yeah, he died. Wow. He died February 29th, 2012. There you go, in Stuart, Florida.
Jeez. Yeah. Okay.
I think we talked about it on this show, but that's why it was ringing true to me. But then you guys were so adamant, I went, oh, they must be right.
We would have covered it, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there you have it. Daryl, truck time. Let's do. Oh, it's Mashup Monday first. It's Mashup Monday. And today's subject of the mashup is one Justin Robert Young. Now, I warn you, he's a little loud in this, okay? So here you go. This is Daryl, or this is Justin.
Next time and I eat the snaps and the traps.
I gotta take a poop.
Why did I get your mass text?
No.
You're in my contacts.
Hey, everybody, have you heard the news? I'm Rapping Hitler, and I hate to rhyme.
What's CM Punk doing anyway? You know the guy's got talent.
See, there's it's just a lot of chaos, really.
God, he's a loud individual.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know what's his name from Jurassic Park should be explaining how that chaos works, and he's not here to do it. Daryl, it's good to have you here. Let's hear a little of this.
But how to make her see?
Oh, good Lord! I cannot believe that was even an idea.
Oh, that's atrocious.
It's so bad. All right, Daryl, let's dig in. Let's give you a question. It is actually not a question. It is Brian and I doing some theater here. That's what we do on Mondays. We're going to act this one out. Brian is going to play the part of Rand, Yeoman Rand, I guess.
Yeoman Rand, yes.
And I'm going to play the part of Captain James Tiberius Kirk. And you're going to have to tell us what episode this little sequence comes from. So here it goes.
Actually, it looks like I'm also playing the part of McCoy.
Oh, are you McCoy as well? All right.
Yeah, it looks like I've got two parts. So here it goes. I'll have to do a voice.
All right, here goes. I'm putting on my Kirk face. Here goes.
What the devil is this? Green leaves.
It's dietary salad, sir. Dr. McCoy ordered your diet card changed. I thought you knew.
Your weight was up a couple of pounds, remember?
Got $50.
Will you stop hovering over me, yeoman?
Well, I'll change it if you don't like it, sir.
Bring some, what? Oh, bring some for the doctor, too.
No. I never eat until the crew eats.
And scene!
Thank you very much.
Curtain. All right, Daryl, that comes from one of these four episodes, the Carbonite Maneuver, or the Carbonite, what is it? He wrote Carbonite.
Wrote the Carbonite Maneuver.
Yeah. He wrote that here. Anyway, yes. The alternative factor, the ultimate computer, or by any other name. So it's your Carbonite, your alternative factor, your ultimate computer, or by any other name. Those are your options. Weigh them carefully. While you do, a little of this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
The Box of Daniel, as I've learned to call it, still beckons us. I moved it. Hold on, I'll be back. It's over here.
Who moved my box? Well, I haven't
refrigerated the drink either, so I don't know if you... Did you find your drink?
I need to go look in the... I'm going to look in the fridge right now.
Okay, sure. Just leave me all alone, all of you.
Let's abandon Scott.
They're abandoning me.
Okay, I'm here. So I feel like we have some options.
How about, do you have lollipops with a goat on them?
It's the devil's lollipop.
It really is.
I have spoons with, oh yeah, we said we're not going to eat those. No, no.
Yeah, I might have accidentally thrown away my spoons along with the fish in the Ziploc bag.
No lollipops for me. I still have two of those Japanese mochi balls.
Have all these drinks.
I have drinks.
Okay. I have not refrigerated the drinks.
Brian has a real thing where he will not drink a non-refrigerated drink. That's a thing for you, isn't it?
You know what? I'll drink this non-refrigerated. I'm fine with it.
Are you okay with it?
Room temperature, partially transparent. Sure.
Okay. You know, I don't want to. Ew. Did you guys get little Jell-O packets?
Yes.
These things?
Self-contained Jell-O packets? Oh, wow. One of them has actually started crystallizing.
No, I think that's inside on purpose. That's a fruit or something. Yeah.
It's like a worm or something.
Yeah, they all have a little shard in it. Fruit's in the corner. So I would actually recommend we eat one of these and do one of the drinks.
All right, do you have a spoon?
No.
Okay.
We don't need spoons.
We're just going to slurp the Jell-O right out of the deal?
Yeah, why not?
Great. I've got to drink a warm drink and slurp Jell-O out of a plastic cup. Thank you.
You could use these prepackaged spoon things with the goo in them and use that spoon.
Oh, gosh. Brian threw his away.
Yeah. I might have actually thrown mine away.
All right.
Okay, I'm throwing mine away now, too.
Yeah, good idea. Oh. Wow, oh, spittoon over there. So
you should have preceded that with a.
Yeah, you should have. So I'm going to recommend we do the yellow of the ones, the citrusy looking one.
All right.
And then let's do that and wash that down with. Let's try the peach one, the peach flavored clear bottle deal.
This one? You've got peach. I've got lychee flavored. I don't know what flavors Daryl has.
Is this the half can, half bottle?
Yeah.
Yes.
Palma Verde. Oh, that's apple.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, the Palma Verde watch. Look for it this coming spring. Okay, I'm going to pop this before I open the other.
Pop that. Hold on. What are you popping? You popping the can or you popping the...
The can or the
Jell-O,
half bottle can.
Okay.
All right. There's no
the
fizz.
The clottle. Nope.
Uh-oh. Ooh, it smells peachy though. It smells lovely.
The flip top thing just went inside.
That's okay. I used to do that when I was a kid. My parents used to have me do that. They told me to do that. And they were like, hey, don't litter. Put your pop thing inside the can. I don't know why they did that. I think I probably gave myself aluminum poisoning at some point. All right. So let's now open the little hoo-ha here. The little...
Okay.
Ooh, it spit on me. Hold on.
Oh, God. Then I'm opening away from the face.
The hoo-ha
open
is open.
Open away from the face.
And this is assortment.
Smells pretty good.
Sorbonnets. It's leaking everywhere for me.
Oh yeah, it's not completely formed gelatin.
Oh, Brian.
It's thick and
basically
liquid.
Thick and liquid, buddy.
It's thick and liquid. Or thin Jell-O.
All right. Ooh, there's that. I don't know what to think of the fruity entity thing in there. What is that?
It's a crystalline entity right there, Jell-O.
I think you should Jell-O shot this and just hork it down. How you feel about that?
Well, it only if it's disconnected from the sides. Otherwise, I'm going to be like, it looks like actually it'll...
You're going to pop out?
Maybe.
I need a towel. Gosh dang it.
Yeah, don't have a napkin here.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
All right. I guess I better pull the lid completely off of this guy so I can Jell-O shot it.
I tasted it and it tastes fine, so I think this is going to be fine.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did too.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
All right, here we go. Hork it. I can't be sick for this wedding, so I can't anything too weird this week. All right, here we go.
I'm going to lick mine like a cat would lick it out.
Mm.
Oh, I can't. It's too thick.
Mm. This is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That's yummy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to bite one of those cubes out, but I can't quite do it.
Mm.
Oh, I just take the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did too. Whole container.
That was actually lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know how I feel about the weird fruit chunks in it, but
I think still feel like fruit.
Texturally speaking, it's a little weird.
Ziggurat says that those are supposed to be frozen and then eaten. Really?
Oh, really? Well, it doesn't say that on these. It just says Oh my gosh, the name of the brand, did you see that? Han, like Han Solo. Han Shud Food. S-H-U-D. Han Shud Food.
No, Shuo Food.
Oh, is that not a D? My eyes are terrible that distance.
Han Shuo Food.
It is yummy, it says on the top. Yummy. Mm-hmm. All right, that's lovely. Let's wash it down with this. God.
Please squeeze the cup gently and taste the jelly in several bites or with a spoon. This product is not appropriately edible for elders and children under the age of 5.
Whoa, why? Uh-oh.
That's what it says on the label.
What the hell does that mean?
Am I going to die? Am I an elder?
I don't know. Can you get a deal at Denny's?
Taste the jelly in several bites or with a spoon. Apparently, don't jello shot it like we just did.
What? I'm nervous now.
It says that on the label.
Hold on. I'm reading this. Appropriately edible for... Why is that?
And it's the worst font ever.
It really is a bad, hard-to-read font.
Like, doesn't look like please. It looks like disease.
Disease? Taste the cup. Yeah. So I don't like that language. That bothers me. No. I think that might be the last one of those I taste. We'll see how it goes later, I guess. All right, I'm going to sip down this stuff. It seems fine.
Okay.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, refreshing. Yeah. Ooh, this is yummy. Oh, yeah. We have such good things today.
Yeah, these are great today, except for that warning.
Mine tastes like hairspray.
Does it?
Oh, no, mine tastes like bug repellent.
That's like kissing John Waters. What? Oh, bug repellent. Let me see. Brian missed my hairspray reference. It's okay, though.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. It was a little obscure.
Did you say John Travolta?
I said John Waters, but that's okay. Close enough.
John Waters, yeah.
You know, pencil-thin mustache. You know the one.
Yes.
Every time you kiss that guy, you'd come away with a little bit of that. That was all right. I didn't mind any of that. I just hope that warning is, and I hope I'm not elderly or a child. So that'll be fine.
Andrea says you're not supposed to eat in one bite because it's a choking hazard. And then he corrected himself. Oh. Choking.
Oh, a choking hazard. Before you know it, there's like an equation on the board. Oh, no.
Oh, no. I have to solve this. Oh.
I feel like we haven't heard from Andreas in a while. How's he doing? You know he's got talent.
Every once in a while, I get texts from him. He's doing very well.
Okay, good. I used to get, maybe I haven't replied very much or something because I haven't gotten as many as I used to.
He just did a trip down the Pacific Coast Highway, starting from close to Daryl's area and going all the way down to Los Angeles, I believe.
Oh, that's right. He's done with that,
beautiful
though.
Beautiful drive.
Now.
He's done with that.
Okay, yeah. He looked like he was having a ball. I saw pictures and stuff. Maybe that's why I haven't heard much because he was traveling with his lovely lady friend.
Yes.
Okay, Daryl, back to your damn question. You had these options here. The carbonite remover, the manure, the carbonite manure.
There's a little hole in the back of Han's thing. Never mind.
What's the manure thing from? Oh, it's Janeway.
From Back to the Future.
Wasn't Janeway saying?
Oh.
Hold on.
Manure.
Janeway. Yeah. Here you go.
I think you'll find that's manure.
Oh, manure.
They seem to flagellate.
Yeah, they do.
Must be from Orange is the New Black. What are we eating in this prison food? You don't think you'll find that's manure.
Orange is the New Black. Orange isn't supposed to be black. All right. Daryl, let's find out what you think. Which one? What do you say? Where are you at?
Okay.
Oh, what birthday first. Birthday. I screwed up.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Tom Hardy is 37.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry, keep talking.
Shin's on Star Trek Nemesis.
Yeah, the clone of Picard and Nemesis. Oh, spoiler, I guess, kind of. That he is my favorite actor. We were having this very conversation this weekend with some people, and I've decided Tom Hardy is my favorite actor right now. I love watching him do anything. I don't know what it is. I can't wait to see The Drop, his new movie. I hear he's fantastic in it. He has a quality to him that is hard to describe. Except to say, you always feel like if you turn away, you're going to miss something special. And I can't quite put my finger on that or why he as an actor does this and others don't. But there's always like, I feel like I'm going to miss an expression or a potential tweak to a line or something. Even though I may not get it, I feel like I'm riveted when he does anything on screen. And if I was a lady, I'd be swooning right now over that Tom Hardy. He's a good looking guy.
He's a handsome fella.
He sure is.
Take back your city.
I mean, he's the greatest thing in since sliced bread, as far as I'm concerned. And the Mad Max movie he's in, totally can't freaking wait. That'll be great. You think he'll play Australian in that? Does anyone know? I wonder. Because that was an Australian movie. Remember the first one?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll find out.
He's British, right?
Yes, he's British.
Yes.
But yeah. Often plays everything else in totally convincingly. Like he sounds
right.
Totally like a New York accent in this new movie he's in.
Interesting.
And not weirdly bad or any of that. It sounds like the real deal. The guy's super talented.
Take back your city, Gotham.
Yeah.
Take it back.
Well, that's a terrible idea. I'm glad they didn't go that route. All right. So, Daryl, what do you say? There's your four.
Okay.
Oh, happy birthday to him. 37, you say?
Yep.
Yeah. He has awesome. Great lips, that guy has.
Some great lips.
Yeah, hell of a pair of lips.
Okay. Yeah, that's weird.
Well, you know, he's a good-looking guy. I mean, I'm okay. I'm comfortable enough to admit he is a good-looking dude. And yeah. He's mysterious and interesting to look at. And I really want to see that other movie he's in where... It was this year where he is in a car the whole time. Is it called Luck? Well, I can't remember what it's called. But he's in a car the entire time, and his entire life unravels from the moment he gets in there and drives home through a series of phone calls and cell phone calls. And it's never the camera's never anywhere but in that car.
Wow.
It's supposed to be really good. Yeah. He's a fascinating guy. He's just everything he does. I don't know if you ever saw his Bronson movie. That's totally worth seeing. Good gosh, that's worth seeing. What a weird movie.
Like a Death Wish kind of thing?
No, it's funny you say that, though, because it's based on a true story of some prisoner, some British prisoner that was in and out of prison, very brutal, horrible dude who was famous for a bunch of stuff, had a crazy mustache, big handlebar mustache, and it's just his kind of biography. They called him Bronson because he named himself that after Charles Bronson, so you're not wrong on the reference, but... It's a different kind of movie. You should totally see it.
Okay.
Really
Locked,
weird.
By the way, is the movie that...
Lock.
Lock.
Luck.
You know those closer than you usually are.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. All right, Daryl, where are you at? What do you say?
Okay. And that's not the Bronson Pinchot.
No.
Rapper. No, it is definitely not. That's a whole different animal.
Okay. I'm going to say...
Oh, cousin,
can you do the act? Can you do the act again?
No, no, I can't. It went like this. Kirk says, "What the devil is this? Green leaves?" And Rand said, "Dietary salad, sir." Dr. McCoy ordered it. That's as good as you get.
Okay, I'm gonna say Corbomite Man.
You're gonna say Corbomite Man, Nuver?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's find out if you're right. Is he right?
Congratulations.
Yeah, you're right.
You're a winner.
He got it right. It's Dr. McCoy gives Kirk his physical and in this episode puts him on a new diet. Kirk is not pleased with this. No homies were harmed in the making of this question. Here's a clip of Daryl doing one of Kirk's lines. All right, so here's you, Daryl, I guess.
What is this? Green leaves and sticks?
Oh, look at you. Do you not remember doing that?
I think I did that at one point. Hold on, somewhere.
I gotta hear that again.
Did that what is line this? In our
Green
acting.
Leaves and sticks?
I'm gonna save this. This is a great line. Hold on. Use this later in the show. Daryl's green leaves. Okay, great. Fantastic. Daryl is the Trek nerd. He is also winning this week. He's 1-for-4 out so far, and there's 3 more to go, so we'll see how he does. I guess he's not 1-for-4, you're 1-for-1. Daryl's the Trek nerd on Twitter. You can also follow him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and The Grumpy Cast. Daryl will now play a game with us called what?
Is this Borg or bees?
Here's your theme.
What?
All right. Borg or bees?
Bees.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I should have. Brian, damn you. That's a better choice, isn't it? Hold on. Bees. Millions of bees. You know, it'd be nice if I had these handy. Here we go.
Bees. Millions of bees.
There you go. That's our theme.
Okay. Coffin hive.
Coffin hive. It sounds German.
I can't even Coffin hive. I can't even think of like how they would use that in Star Trek. So to describe the Borg, coffin hive.
Well, I mean, they are dead in there. I mean, they're all corpses basically.
Oh, I see. So they could say it's a coffin hive.
Yeah, they're reanimated and you know mechanized cyborgs, but they're dead really.
Mm.
That's an inch, but I do not. I remember never a reference to that.
On yeah,
the show or the movie. Movies.
I would say. I guess I would still lean towards a real thing.
Yeah,
real bees.
I I always lean toward real bees. I'm going to say bees. Here. they say it's bees. So what is it? Is it bees?
Every time you give an answer this week, it should be with that or a board saying something. Okay. A hive that is, this is a real thing that's a hive laid out horizontally instead of vertically.
Oh, by
real hive.
By bees.
Oh, really?
With real
like
bees.
Flat, okay. Like a flat hive. Wow.
Yes.
Here you go.
You saying these bees eat plastic?
I am saying that. How weird is that? All right. Well, Brian, look at us. We're winners.
Yay.
We're winners.
One for one this week.
Yeah. Don't mess with us. We are winners.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, it's the news.
And it's brought to you by help of the following. Helping a small family in a big way. My father, Darkin, also a fellow Trek nerd, has recently been diagnosed with colon cancer and is going through chemo treatment to prepare him for his surgery. Due to his illness, he has not been able to work. Please help support my parents as medical bills and living expenses are piling up. Any amount is greatly appreciated. Support Darkon at tinyurl.com/battlecancer. Live long and prosper.
Man, cancer sucks, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's an obvious thing to say, but I don't, whatever. We should be better at killing cancer by now. I know we're better than we've ever been, but
yeah,
we should be able to get rid of it. Come on. What kind of human beings are we? Black burgers.
What kind of scientists are we?
Speaking of cancer, here's how you might get some, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Black burgers hit Japanese Burger King again.
Oh, geez.
It's not like it's a disease or something. They did it on purpose, everybody.
Burgers are black. Burgers are not supposed to be black.
I agree with that. Black buns, black ketchup, black cheese. Is this the most metal burger ever? And it says in this article, no, just a weird one from Japan. They've done this since 2012. Burger King Japan is unleashing the Kuro black burgers. Kuro is Japanese for black. Bringing it to the eating public. The burgers, as opposed to the non-eating public, that's weird to say. The burger's accoutrement are blackened by way of squid ink. Okay, you don't like weird food, but how would you feel about squid ink and bamboo charcoal in your burger?
You know what? I probably had squid ink in something before, so that probably wouldn't.
Have you? What I don't think me. I have. That sounds horrible. Squid ink.
I think it's flavorless, used as just a coloring agent.
Mm. But it came out of the ass end of a squid, though, dude. You know,
the business end of a squid.
Yeah. According to company's press release, the meat is broiled and not really all that black. We're going out on a limb to say this probably tastes umami. What does that mean?
Umami. That's the that terrible? Is the sixth flavor sense. So you've got your sweet, salty. Oh. What are all the? It's like one that they just added recently in the last.
I didn't know 20 that.
20 years to all your flavor receptors. Yeah. Oh,
first they dropped Pluto as a planet. Now this.
Now they've added umami.
I don't know who to trust.
Yes, you got to watch the Food Network to learn about umami.
I guess so. Oh, speaking of which, last night posted a brand new episode of Film Sack. We covered the film Gattaca, and yeah. I think you and I really liked that movie.
We both really liked it a lot.
I think Randy took a contrarian position. Brian Dunaway sadly was not there. He's recovering from some facial surgery thing he had. He's fine, everybody. Don't worry about him. He's good. He's just, you know, couldn't talk very well. But yeah, that movie is good. It holds up. There's some problems, but it's good.
I think that was Randy's point. There were some factual technical errors and issues like that. But all in all, I really enjoyed Gattaca.
I did too. And having it on Blu-ray looks sweet.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here's some more news for you. So run out and get that black burger if you live in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah. If you live in Japan, tell us how it is because we're not going to eat one.
Yeah, damn straight. The self-styled cyber warrior who spread hacked photos of naked celebrities viewed 250 million times by Reddit users and beyond is now complaining his privacy has been invaded. This is the greatest headline ever. The man who broadcast, I don't know if broadcast is the right word, but anyway, shared dozens of stolen celebrity nude photos to hundreds of millions of people around the world, told the Mail Online this, quote, "If people want to call me a hero or a cyber warrior, I'm not going to stop them."
Oh, yes. Call me a hero.
You should see this guy.
Unbelievable.
You click that link, you get a nice photo of him.
See, that's the thing is my Chrome is not working all of a sudden.
Oh, what's going on, Chrome?
I don't know. It's like... I'm getting, you know, no problem with the tadpole scrolling through and every, you know, the internet's working everywhere else, but something's
Something's amiss.
Something's amiss in Chrome.
John Randall Menezes. Menzies. Whoa, isn't that?
Menzies. I'm sure that's it. Yeah, I'm sure it's Menzies.
Your monthly thing. Know what that sure. is? Menzies. from Las Vegas. Always from Las Vegas, Brian.
Oh, what? Why do you say it like...
I don't know.
Oh, maybe you know him.
You're there so often, you've bound to run into this guy before. All right, so he... Let's see, where is it here? He says, I've done nothing wrong, despite my role in spreading extremely graphic and personal stolen pictures of 101 celebrities, including Jennifer Lawrence, Kate Upton, and Kirsten Dunst. They added that part. Menezes, whatever, age 33, collected the lewd celebrity snaps... Lewd celebrity snaps are the least favorite candy brand. Lewd celebrity snaps.
Hold on, I need to go to the cookie aisle to get some lewd celebrity snaps.
Oh my gosh. Let's all go to the lobby. These were stolen by hackers from the iCloud accounts of stars on a Reddit forum called The Fappening. The Fappening. That's right. You heard that right. Yes. The Fappening. Menezes told the Mail Online that he only has one regret, that he posted the photos online under his own username and not an anonymous account. Without irony, given the gross invasion of privacy that the celebrity suffered, he now bemoans that his own privacy has been invaded because of the Fappening. Referring to a brief anonymous piece on him in the Washington Post, he said, quote, I'm not happy about all of this, but it happened. The Nixon administration couldn't stop Washington Post from exposing Watergate, so what hope do I have? You're weird.
Well, that's such a great comparison, dude. Nicely played.
Yeah, way to go. You're weird.
What I did is just like, you know, when we exposed Watergate scandal.
Yeah, it's the same, dude. It's the same. There's no fallacy of
Jennifer
comparison.
Jennifer Lawrence breast scandal is that I exposed. I helped.
Yeah. One exposed corruption at the highest level of government. The other one exposed Now, listen, not to say that exposing somebody's boob isn't a big deal and isn't terrible, and I think this guy's part of the problem, but you got the wrong comparison there, buddy.
Right,
exactly. Also, you're putting yourself up on too high of a pedestal. Look at his pictures. You need to see his pictures.
I can't look at the
picture. I'm trying not to judge this guy, but I'm going to go ahead and judge this guy. He's kind of a douche.
He sounds like he should be judged.
Yeah, take that. We'll get emails mad about that. We got an email today. It's going to just set my hair on fire. I can't wait to read it.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
I usually don't pull these out, but this one just got me. And you're going to love it because you're at the center of it. All right.
Oh, no. Really?
Don't skip ahead, though.
Did I cause?
No, you didn't cause anything.
I'm not skipping ahead, but I opened this thing up on another computer so I could take a look at this guy.
Yeah, he's exactly what you think he might look like.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, look at him going.
Hey, I've got pictures of naked ladies. Famous people.
My pants are at my knees. Okay, moving on. Yeah. Oh, hey, we got a sponsor this week whom I love. Harry's, Harry's.com, HARRYS.com. We do love Harry's. They're awesome.
We'll make your face not hairy.
That's right. For many of us, shaving is a pain. I know it is for me. It's uncomfortable, causes nicks, cuts, scrapes, razor burn. Razor blades today are just ridiculously expensive. These are all truths we know and hold dear. Enter Harry's, started by two guys who wanted a better product without paying an arm and a leg to get it. They offer this high-quality shave to your face and your wallet. They don't shave your wallet, but, you know, they take less money out of it. About half the price of other big branded blades like Gillette and others. You get these for like half that. They ship for free to your front doorstep. Starter set is an amazing deal. $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, three razor blades. Why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when it's half the price at Harry's? It's totally rad. You guys should get it. They make their own blades, by the way. I got the engraved Winston set, which is awesome. Went straight to my door. I love the look and the feel of this set. It gives me a great shave, and I love the price. For a clean, close, comfortable shave, go to harrys.com, HARRYS.com. Use the offer code MORNINGSTREAM. Get yourself $5 off your first purchase. That's $5 off with the code MORNINGSTREAM at harrys.com. And we want to thank them for their support of the show. They are rad, and we like those guys a lot.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
Why, it's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
To boldly go where no one has gone before on the Starship Enterprise sounds great, unless you're wearing a red shirt.
Voyage to the Final Frontier in The Red Shirt Diaries, a Star Trek parody web series with new episodes every Monday at theredshirtdiaries.com. Follow Ensign Williams, a low-ranked security officer, as she fights violent sentient plants, overly friendly superior officers, and alien probes that refuse to let her sleep. Beam me up to theredshirtdiaries.com, Scotty.
I really like her. She's really good in this. People should watch it.
Very funny. Yeah, she's got a good talent for the comedy. Like she knows the timing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. She's really, really good. And
I'm Ensign Williams, a security officer aboard the Starship Enterprise. And these are my logs.
Anyway, if you wanna go see it, it's great. It's totally fantastic, and she's really good.
Yeah, it's really well done.
Okay. Moving on. Mickey Minaj. Nicki Minaj. She's in the news. She wants to speak at students at her old high school. Principal says, nope.
Nope. Not I've heard interested. That Anaconda song. You are not speaking at my high school. Nope. Sorry.
It looks like I could run a credit card through that butt crack. I'm not interested. Thanks very much. But go away. Nicki Minaj High School. They don't want none of her buns. This is what the article says, not me.
Right.
The Anaconda singer says she offered to speak to the students of her former Manhattan high school, but was disappointed when the principal declined her visit. The rapper took to Twitter to complain that the head of the Fioriello H. LaGuardia School, High School in New York, a name so hard they can only graduate if they can say it, wouldn't allow her to pay it forward to the school she said that changed her life. They said nay.
Oh.
I know. Well, you know, it's a hard thing to... It's like if... I mean, okay, I know it's not exactly the same, but, you know, if Marilyn Manson did the same thing, the same thing would happen. The school would say no. Mm-hmm. Because Marilyn Manson is up to stuff that he's I don't know what he's doing now.
Edgy,
but.
And you know, it wouldn't just be a straight. Well, actually, you know what? I trust Marilyn Manson before I trusted Nicki Minaj. Because I don't know. I mean, I think that he would actually be genuine. He'd be like, he'd come out. He'd be like the suit wearing, makeup wearing version of Marilyn Manson. Mm-hmm. Brian Warner, is it?
Yeah.
And he'd come out and say, you know, I'm stuck in this Hollywood machine, but, you know, I graduated from here and I worked hard and I made something for myself. And aside from rubbing my butt on a security guard's head, really proud of what I've accomplished.
I think you'd come out and go, F you, suckers. Like, I think you're running the same, maybe not in his heyday. If it was in his heyday, you'd run the same risk because she's in her heyday, right? She's in the middle of it.
Yes.
If you came to him when he was beautiful people, and doing all that, then I think you would have had trouble. I think you would have been a little bit trickier. Talk to Nicki when she's passed all this and she's had a few interesting film roles and she's turned, you know, she's doing other stuff. Then her high school may say, yeah, come on back. But I feel like it's just, you know, you're trying to maintain a decorum at a high school. And I'm not sure Nicki Minaj or I can't think of anybody else who's crazy right now. Like Marilyn Manson came to mind, but like I can't think of anybody. So who's doing something weird right now? It's like asking two live crew to come do a
yeah, they're current. How about them? Can we use them?
They're right.
Are they a good reference?
They're fresh off the press. They're still big.
They're in the news.
Sarah Palin, the final story today, Sarah Palin and Track Palin and Bristol Palin, all the Palins, many of the Palins, were involved in a drunken fight at a snowmobile party. Woo! There's been an update to this, but I haven't read it yet, so we'll just assume none of this has changed. Several members of the Palin clan were allegedly involved in a drunken brawl at a snowmobile party in Alaska, which was sponsored by the annual Iron Dog snowmobile race. Let's see, Palin got into a fist fight with a man who had been dating his sister. This is the Palin boy. He had dated Willow Palin, and he got mad and started punching him. Alaskan political blogger Amanda Coyne pieced together an account of various witnesses. According to her post, saw Track, quote-unquote, stumble out of a stretch Hummer before picking a fight. At this point, he's up against nearly the whole Palin tribe, Palin women screaming, Palin men thumping their chests. Word is that Bristol has a particularly strong right hook, which she employed repeatedly. Do you know who I am? She said.
Did she really?
That's what they say.
Oh, I hope that's the case.
And it was particularly wonderful when someone in the crowd yelled, screamed back, "This isn't some damned hillbilly reality show," they said to her.
Wow.
Ah, the Palins. Still kicking it. Still rocking it. Gotta be proud. The HelloFresh.com would like to sponsor that trash right there. HelloFresh.com.
That train wreck.
They are spreading like crazy. I was supposed to talk to somebody there on Friday. We were going to have this great conversation. Instead, I was at the freaking dentist getting my thing replaced. And that was sad. But I did get a chance to get a message from them, and I can't wait to talk to them again because I think this is about their expansion. They're moving all over the place. Brian got notification. They are now in Utah. They are all over the place now. Go check them out. Get fresh recipes designed by actual chefs every week. Pick what you want. They'll send the ingredients straight to your door with a little bit of chutzpah. You can make it in 30 minutes or less. And I want to save you some money, though. Go there, use Morningstream, and if you use that as your code, 50% off for first-time customers. That's half off, you guys. That's just too good of a deal to pass up at HelloFresh.com. Let's take a break. When we come back, major spoilers. Steven will be here talking about some stuff. And V for video games. Veronica is in Portland, but will be here via phone to talk about this crazy Microsoft Minecraft acquisition in video games today. So we'll talk about all that, your emails and more. Before that, music. Brian, what do we got?
All right, so Chris, a.k.a. Alucard, wrote in and said, "Hi, Scooge and Bloomberg. September 14th marks the one-year anniversary of the birth of my daughter, Becca, a birthday, if you will. As that is a Sunday, I'd like to request a song for September 15th. Please, could you play a cover of Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder? Or, if you would prefer a challenge, could you find something which congratulates my beautiful wife and I for making it through the first year without going insane? My wife and I are huge fans of Rufus Wainwright, so if you could find something in a similar vein, that would be great. But I will gladly bow to your greater knowledge. Gloves for dodos, Chris, a.k.a. Alucard, in the tadpool."
All right.
So, I had to switch over to my other computer here because I can't do anything on the web, and I couldn't even pull up my requests. But, all right, so we're gonna play a Rufus Wainwright song for you right now, a very, very touching, lovely song from Rufus Wainwright that I think speaks to exactly the sentiments and the feelings that you're having with your brand new one-year-old. So let's go ahead and, Scott, if you would be so kind as to cue up. This is Rufus Wainwright, and this came out a couple years ago.
You know, I really appreciate the warning and the hint that I needed to have that all lined up. I really do. But as you know, I might be late with that, so hold on just a second here. It was beautiful. What you did was beautiful. You really did it right.
Thank you. Right.
It was incredible. Here it is. I found it. We're all set now. It's Big Red, everybody. Let's play this now. We'll be back in a minute. And so I'm going to stop at the end of this and then talk to you again, right? Just make sure I have that right. Okay. Yes. Let's completely ruin the entire segment.
And
here we go.
And you can do it without saying the name of the song, too.
Oh, sorry. Ah, crap. All right, here goes. I was just talking about the gum I'm chewing. Everything's fine. I'm just chewing some gum.
Okay, enough.
Here
play
we go.
A song.
Bye.
So kiss a little longer. Stay close a little longer. Hold tight a little longer, longer with Big Red. That Big Red freshness lasts right through it. Your fresh breath goes on and on while you chew it. Say goodbye a little longer. Make it last a little longer. Give your breath long-lasting freshness with Big Red, with Big Red.
Okay. So there's your Rufus Wainwright.
That was awesome.
Yeah, he did a whole series of them. He did Wrigley's, he did Double Mint gum, he did Extra.
Mm.
This is all for Funny or Die.
That's great.
It's called the Funny or Die Gum EP. And it's all gum jingles sung by Rufus Wainwright.
Really good.
Anyway, all right, let's do something. I won't say more serious, but something that's probably a little bit more towards what you're looking for. Barry Lewis Polisar, people probably don't know him by name. But if they've seen the movie Juno, they know the song that Ellen Page and Michael Cera sing to each other called All I Want Is You. Mm. All I Want Is You. Barry Lewis Polisar is this guy who's written all these great kid-friendly songs that won't drive parents insane. So like if you want some fun stuff to listen to with the kid while you're driving around in the car, This is great stuff. Barry Lewis Pulitzer. And there was a tribute to Barry Lewis Pulitzer called We're Not Kidding. Came out in 2009, about the time that Juno was really popular. And on there is this song that I think you guys are going to enjoy. It's called A Clock Without a C. It's performed by In the Audience. And here's the real song going out to Alucard.
Like a seed that has to grow, sometimes we're all a little slow to turn a little wrong into right.
Hold on, button stuck. Why won't that work? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
It won't work. What the heck? Okay.
Tony Stark makes you feel he's a cool exec with a heart of steel.
As Iron Man, all jets ablaze, he's light and slight with repulsive rays. Amazing armor.
Yes, Iron Man.
Ablazing power.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
The Morning Stream. Rambling goes in, podcast comes out. You can't explain that.
And we're back. Man, that button didn't work. That freaked me out. Hold on, I gotta try something here. Tell me if you hear this.
Okay.
Oh, it didn't work again. What the heck? Okay, how about now?
Call now.
Okay, now it's working. Did you hear that?
I did, yeah.
Okay. All right. you can hear me, right? You can hear me, okay.
I can hear you,
all right,
yeah.
All right, something's up on this end. I don't know what's going on. That's really weird. All right, hey, everybody, we're back. Good to be back. Great song. Good job. Good pick. good team.
It's a fun song. It's Barry Lewis Pulitzer writes some great stuff.
What a cool name.
Kid-friendly Barry Lewis Pulitzer.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yes. All right, we're going to get Stephen A. Schleicher on the show, and he has, I don't know if we have anything. Here, try this. I don't know where that's going. That's pretty epic.
Ah.
All right, I don't know why I'm using this.
I think that should be the Major Spoilers intro every
you
week.
You think that should be it? All right.
It's epic.
It is pretty epic. Stephen Schleicher is on the line fun, from Major epic. Spoilers. How's it going, man?
Oh, it is. It's going all right, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. And any big goings on the weekend for you? You have anything cool to tell us about?
No, I sat down and finally got Diablo 3 for the Xbox One.
Oh.
And I started playing it.
Yeah.
And then my oldest started playing it.
Yeah.
And then last night, just before the kids went to bed, my wife started playing.
Oh,
so
no.
We're going to get a whole family action going here.
Everyone's screwed. Are you doing any co-op or you just got the one controller? How are you doing that?
No, what we're going to do is everybody's just learning it right now. And then once everybody gets the hang of it, then we'll go and jump in with a big old three-person
killing of bad guys. So much
fun.
Yeah. So good. That multiplayer in there is really, really well done. I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing how well received too that this version of that game is. People really, really like the console version.
Yeah, I like it a lot too. I'm sure it's a bad comparison, but for my limited scope of video game playing, it reminds me a lot of Gauntlet from back in the day.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So it's really a lot of fun.
I think that game owes a lot to Gauntlet, in fact. I think the original designers wouldn't even admit as much. You know, it's a roguelike mixed with Gauntlet, mixed with a little D&D and character progression. Like it's one of my favorite mashups of genres in the history of games.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Glad you're having a good time. Steven comes on, talks about pop culture, comics, movies, TV, all kinds of fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And today is no different. From the pages of Major Spoilers, we have this news. Legend of Korra Book 4 arrives in a few weeks. Hold on now.
Yeah, this is really surprising. You know, it was really surprising when Nickelodeon announced that, hey, we're going to have Book 3 start, in June or July, whenever it started. Mm-hmm. And then there was an even bigger shock when they said, oh, no, we're yanking it off broadcast television and we're going to put it on our website only. And now, just this past week, the creators popped online and said, hey, Book 4, you know, you're not going to have to wait a year for it. You're going to have it October 3rd is when it's going to land on Nickelodeon's website. So I don't know what that means. This is so weird. This is the weirdest. For as popular as a series as The Legend of Korra is and the Avatar series is, I have no idea what Nick and the creators are thinking when they're doing these kinds of things. I mean, for Korra fans, this is great. They get season 4, book 4 right away. Mm. But from a business standpoint, I don't understand what they're doing.
Well, I have a theory.
Okay.
I don't know how this holds up, but I wonder if all of this is just a way to get a bunch of news swirling about it so that ratings are higher because maybe things have dropped or maybe it's a little behind everyone's radar or something.
Yeah.
It just isn't doing as well as it should given how good it is. And the rabid fan base who loves it, they're nonplussed by this, but maybe this is the network's attempt to say, well, if we generate enough weird buzz about this thing, it'll drive a bunch of viewers. Is that too simplistic of a view? I don't know.
I still think, I don't know if we talked about it on this show or another one that I was on, where I think Nickelodeon's getting ready to launch their own Hulu Netflix type channel.
Oh, interesting.
And this is the push that they need to say, hey, here's what we're doing with our online programming with Legend of Korra. Here's what's coming next. And then they're going to have a bunch of stuff. They're going to have all their Nickelodeon stuff online for people to watch at any time. Mm-hmm. It's a weird speculation, but that's the only reason I can think that they're doing this is to get people hyped.
Yeah, I still need to see it. I still have not seen Legend of Korra.
Oh, man. Season 1 is outstanding. Season 2 is a little slow in the middle. I've only seen the first two episodes of Season 3, and now Book 4 is just around the corner, so I've got some watching to do.
Yeah, it's beloved, that's for sure. This and the Airbender business. Everyone loves
it. Yep.
TNT, the channel, I assume, not the explosive,
right?
Is eyeing Teen Titans for a series, and we're not talking about like animated the way Cartoon Network had an animated series for a while.
No.
We're talking like live action, right?
Live action featuring Dick Grayson as Nightwing in this series, and moving ahead with it. Again, this is another one that's a surprise that the WB hasn't been sitting down with the CW and said, "Hey, are you guys interested in this?" Yeah. But TNT is definitely interested in getting in on this comic book action, much like the FX Network and AMC. And right now we only know that this is a pilot episode that they're looking forward to, although they do have producers, executive producers, and the Warner Brothers Horizon Television are all engaged to move this forward.
Mm, I'm into this. I think that's great. And
I think it is too.
Yeah. TNT's kind of not had their, I mean, they've got some cool dramas and stuff, but I like The Closer was good and there's some other stuff over there, but I don't feel like they've been on the bandwagon as much with things that are maybe a little bit fantasy. The way some of the other channels have been. So,
who did that? Was it X-Force series, the X-Men teen series from back in the day? Was that TNT? Was that Turner?
Well, I don't remember that one.
I remember it vaguely. It didn't do well.
No, it didn't.
Crap, I forgot. But it was kind of tangentially connected to X-Men, but not very well.
Here's the problem that they're going to have, I think, is that we've got a Flash series going on the CW. So if you're going to have Kid Flash, that's going to cause a conflict unless they're going to do some inter-network cooperation. We hear that Cyborg is probably going to be in the upcoming Dawn of Justice movie.
Yeah, I love
so
Cyborg.
That could potentially cause some issues.
Yeah.
And of course, Robin is always tied with Batman, so you've got issues there.
Well, clear this up for me. Is Cyborg, there's no Cyborg Jr., right?
No. There's only Vic Stone, and that's it.
Okay. But they play him as young in some of the comics, and then sometimes he's old.
Yeah, right? He's kind of there, and it depends on how they want to approach it, and again, whim of the writers. But they kind of approach him as the oldest member of the team to kind of give some sage advice to the younger kids.
Oh, I see.
Now, in the cartoon series, they're all just wackadoo crazy.
Right. They totally are. Which is all I can have. I don't have much of a reference point because I never really read the comics, and I don't know how any of that went. So the fact that they're going Nightwing with Dick Grayson is probably good. That means things have matured some. It's not just Robin mm-hmm. running around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
This could be great. This could have real legs. I know there's a devoted following of that series, mm-hmm. so why not?
If they do it, I hope they do it right.
Yeah.
But certainly with the success of the Teen Titans Go and now the whatever the new version is, maybe they're both called Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
But they've had two different animated series that fans just love. So we're going to see in a couple of weeks. We know that Smallville worked really well, but in a couple of weeks, we're going to see Gotham and The Flash and Constantine. We're going to see what fans really think of live action cartoon properties. And if TNT is rolled their dice right, then they could come up with a really big hit.
Now, you say Tyne, I say Teen. Am I wrong to say Constantine?
Yeah, I say Constantine, too. But
yeah. In one of the comic books, he spells it out and says Constantine.
Oh, it does sound more gothic when you say it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people are okay either way.
How about Tyne Titans? Wrong word.
Tyne Titans?
That doesn't work. Speaking of DC stuff and seeing things for the first time, there is a first official, not just a grainy crap version of it, but an actual official photo of the new Batmobile released by Zack Snyder. What are your thoughts on this thing?
It looks pretty cool. I mean, we talked a little bit about the photos that were released from this set last week on Comic Dorks,
mm-hmm.
but this one's an official one. It's black.
Yeah.
It's got guns mounted on the front. A lot of people have said, why is the Batmobile got guns mounted to the front of it?
Yeah.
Well, look, we already know that they've talked before about referencing Dark Knight Returns is influencing this movie. And if you go and look in the Dark Knight Returns, there's this great scene where Batman drives the Bat Tank, essentially a Batmobile that's been all decked out with a giant gun on the front, to go fight the mutant leader in, I think it's book two of that series.
Yeah.
And this may be their attempt to say, hey, we can't go too crazy with this,
yeah.
But here's this interpretation of that,
right? And they definitely could. They are definitely making so many, I think, so many references to that book, to the mm-hmm. Alan Moore book, that it's Frank Miller book
mm-hmm.
that it's almost impossible to ignore it.
Yeah,
that the big broad bat on the chest, the more traditional mm-hmm. Costume cloth. That feels like it's mm-hmm. made of cloth and stuff, and not space age polymers or whatever. That's all very interesting to me because I love that comic. And some people are having a real problem with the fact that it's so referential to Miller's work, where I feel like a few years ago, if you would have said that, people would have gotten really on board with it. I don't know if it's because no one trusts Zack Snyder, or they're just, being the internet and being snarky about everything. I don't know where all this mistrust is coming. But these are, to me, these are things you want to see happen with Batman.
I think it's all of the above.
Yeah.
You know, people, when we talk about grim and gritty superheroes, you only have to look at The Dark Knight Returns to see where that started. And it's Frank Miller that did that.
Yep.
If you want to blame Zack Snyder, you only have to look and see what he did with Watchmen, which I thought was a fine movie, but a lot of people hated that.
Yeah.
And so smash those two together with the backlash of the grim and gritty superhero and Zack Snyder. And you do have, and don't forget to throw in Ben Affleck, too.
Yeah.
But you've got some people that really are going to hate on this. And I don't know. I'm going to wait and see. I didn't think Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be a great movie, and it turns out to be an awesome movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. Also, just this link on your site reminded me, the tank in the Bat tank he used in mm-hmm. in that book, in the Frank Miller book, is terrible. It's a big, dumb-looking, ridiculous, dumb thing. But we're okay,
There are a lot of things in that book you have to... It's worth multiple readings because you can read it on so many different levels in so many different ways.
So great.
And if you haven't seen the animated version of this movie, you really ought to watch it, because here I've had this book for 20 years. It's one of my favorite books in the world. And then there's this one scene in the animated version. It's panel for panel in the comic book, but Frank Miller just deconstructs Batman in one entire sequence and strips away the crazy Bat tanks and the overhyped machismo and everything, mm-hmm. and returns Batman to his roots in one simple scene, and it's all there in that book. So, you know, the crazy, crazy bat tank is right at the point before Batman says, you know what, time for me to reevaluate what I'm doing and what it means to be Batman and get back to my roots.
Back to the core, yeah. It's so good. It's so good. And I've not seen the Netflix, or the, sorry, the animated thing. I think it's streaming, though. I got to verify
it, it might
that.
Be. Yeah, it might be, but it's definitely worth picking up off iTunes.
Why I haven't watched that with my kids yet, I will never know.
Yeah, it's a two-part movie, in fact. It's four. It's about 3.5 hours long.
Yeah. Well, perfect reviews across the board. People love it. DC, you know, for whatever their mistakes they make in films, they sure do direct the DVD animated stuff right.
They have nailed that down. But, of course, you know, they keep bringing in Bruce Timm, and they keep bringing in Rebecca Romano.
Yeah.
I think that's her first name. Oh, I'm sorry, Andrea Romano, to do all the voice casting. And they've got good writers and good people who continue on from movie to movie to movie. And they just, they do 90% of the time knock it out of the park.
Yeah, they know their crap. Let's hope they keep doing it. Speaking of people who know their crap, Major Spoilers does, and they're doing their costume contest again, because that's what you do every year around Halloween
time.
That's
right. That's right. Costume contest for 2014. The deadline is coming up on, what is it, October 10th at midnight. Get it in. Win an iPad mini.
It's only a few weeks away.
It's only a couple of weeks away, and we've got some awesome entries. And I know that there are some Frog Pants listeners out there that want to get on board on this. So get your entries in today.
I thought about getting in on it, not just for funsies. I don't want to win, but
might as well.
I never had the right motivation to do a costume.
I think it was the first or second year Rodrigo entered just as a goof.
Yeah.
But he went as Crazy Dave from Plants vs. Zombies. Oh, he had pot on his head and everything. Yeah.
Crazy Dave's the best. We'll see how it goes. I can't wait to see the entries. That's at majorspoilers.com, as is everything we talked about today. Go check it out. It's my go-to every day for all the pop culture coverage that you could ever stand.
Well,
and by the way, quick recommendation. I started reading, and we'll talk about it on Comic Dorks a week from Tuesday, but I love this new Black Widow series that's out now.
Yeah, it is really good.
Man.
And if you haven't read Hawkeye, you should read Hawkeye, too.
Yeah, they're kind of the same ilk, aren't they?
Yeah.
Writing is just fantastic.
Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Both those books are turning out to be my favorite Marvel books right now. And I don't know what's up. I think that's a good trend. I hope they keep doing it. But yeah, if you think Black Widow's overplayed in the movies, or you're just sick of hearing about her or whatever, this is a very fresh, awesome take. And the art is insane. It's so good.
I did an unboxing this weekend. It's up on Major Spoilers right now, where I unbox a brand new Black Widow statue. And it is fantastic.
Ooh, all right. Well, go watch that at majorspoilers.com. Major Spoilers on Twitter and all over the damn place. Steven, it's always a pleasure, man.
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you next time.
Have a great day.
See you, dude.
Bye.
Bye now. Can't find his button. Oh, he did it for me. Oh, that was nice.
that's Steven. Always taking care of
you. You know, he's just a sweet guy. I love him. All right, we're going to call Veronica on her cell phone. She is just...
she traveling?
Yeah, she's at the XOXO conference in beautiful wherever it is.
Is that like a conference about kisses and hugs?
I probably should be, or Isby. Isby. Did I say Isby?
Isby.
I did say Isby.
I said Isby. Probably Isby.
Is that the groundskeeper on Star Trek? Something like that, right?
Played by Ray Walston.
I think that's the one.
Isby.
Oh, I think she's on the line. I'm going to play this first. It's V for Video Games. Veronica Belmont, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's XOXO and stuff? You're in Portland, right?
Yeah, we're taking off back to San Francisco this morning, but yeah, it was an awesome festival. There were a lot of video game stuff. There was a great arcade. There was a lot of tabletop things happening. So yeah, it's a small conference, but I really, really enjoyed it, and I loved Portland.
Yeah, Portland's awesome. Did you run into Will Smith while you were there?
Like every 5 minutes.
Yeah, right. He's awesome. Just around every corner.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Oh, actually, Brian, I think you're thinking of the actual Will Smith. You're thinking of the actor Will Smith. We're talking about the tech
about
nerd.
Real Will Smith.
Yeah, the real
one.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Well,
it's a
hey.
Common mistake.
Exactly. So, V, it's good to have you on. I figured today would be a great day to talk about very breaking news, although it was rumored last week, but it has been confirmed that Microsoft is going to spend $2.5 billion to buy Minecraft and its maker Mojang. Very little known about what they plan to do with this, but what's your first take on all this?
Well, it's funny because we definitely planned on talking about this rumor this morning, and now it's a real thing, and it kind of blew up my Twitter feed this morning when I woke up. It seems so far that Microsoft is planning to not make any changes to existing Minecraft releases across multiple platforms. So of course, Minecraft is available in a lot of different ways. It's available on iOS, on Android, on PlayStation, on PC, on Xbox, and right now they're saying there are no plans to change any of that, which I think is hopefully a relief to most of the fans out there. You know, Minecraft is a huge thing. It takes a lot of resources, and I think Microsoft will do a lot to kind of bolster the resources of that game and of that system. And of course, they go on to say that, well, we can't control what other companies do, so if they decide to stop, you know, having Minecraft on their platforms because it's owned by Microsoft, we can't stop that. But we hope that it will continue to develop in other places too.
It's interesting because they usually have, I mean, historically speaking, when you buy a game company, the whole idea is to bring it over to bolster your platform and to make you more of an exclusive user of that developer. Like when they bought Rare Entertainment and everybody thought, ooh, that's kind of a big deal. They were this longtime Nintendo stalwart. They made some amazing games on the N64 and you know, Perfect Dark and the original GoldenEye. I mean, they were these darlings of development, and Microsoft bought them and then kind of did nothing with them. And anything they did do, which, you know, they had a few cool games, but they all ended up on Microsoft platforms. This would be a big departure from that, maybe because they're not. It's not like they're just stealing. Like in Rare's case, they just stole them away from Nintendo. In this case, they can't. They would literally
be stealing them from anyone.
Yeah, and if they did, it would be kind of seismic because all these other platforms, including its flagship platform, the PC, would have, you know, nowhere to go or nowhere to be. And what's funny is this thing's a Java client on PCs, which is also another kind of weird conflict for Microsoft traditionally with them and Sun Microsystems. So to see them say that, hey, we're going to keep everybody where it's at and be multi-platform and stuff seems to be in keeping with maybe their new management and their other ideas with Office being on iOS and some of this other stuff. So maybe this is all this is all a new kind of Microsoft when it comes to acquisitions.
Yeah, I really hope that is the case for sure. And, you know, not everyone is going to continue on with this deal. Of course, you guys probably heard also that the founders are leaving the company to pursue other things and to kind of take some time off. Notch is pretty vocal about that on his Twitter feed this morning, saying, you know, he's a developer, he's a programmer, he's a nerd's nerd. He doesn't really feel like he has a place in this kind of massive, you know, money-making machine that Mojang has become.
Yeah.
And I kind of respect that. You know, he wants to do what he wants to do. He's got money to kind of live off this sale for a really long time, for the rest of his life, if he wanted to, I would imagine. And he wants a simpler kind of existence where he makes cool stuff that he cares about and, you know, let the suits take care of the company.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people are staying at Mojang, too. Jens is staying there to oversee development. So it's an interesting little tidbit there. You don't too often, I think, see founders leave immediately.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this kind of crosses over into the startup world as well. People kind of stick on for a while to make sure that the company or the game kind of continue on in their existing vision,
sure.
If at all possible. But it seems like he feels comfortable leaving Mojang to its own devices at Microsoft and seeing where it goes.
Yeah, and I'll bet you that this was all part of the agreement that he didn't have to stay under that laser beam spotlight that he's been so uncomfortable in for so long. And he even said in a quote here, this is on his personal blog this morning, so this is all pretty breaking. He says, "I don't see myself as a real game developer," he wrote. "I make games because it's fun and because I love games and I love to program, but I don't make games with the intention of them becoming giant hits, and I don't try to change the world. Minecraft certainly became a giant hit, and people are telling me that it's changed games forever. I never really meant to do that either. It's certainly flattering, but I do gradually get thrust into some kind of public spotlight. That's been interesting." And basically, you know, goes on to say that he wants out and wants to, you know, move on and do something else that is not in this kind of limelight. I think he's deserved that. I don't have any problem with it at all. I think it is interesting, though, for Microsoft to swoop in and say, yes, we'll pay $2.5 billion. It's a lot of freaking money. And they're not going to let the visionary stay, that wasn't part of the deal. That, to me, is very surprising that worked out that way. I'm happy for him, but it just seems crazy, you know?
I mean, he obviously feels like, I would at least hope he feels like the people who remain at Mojang and remain on the Minecraft project that he's worked with for so many years can kind of maintain that vision and continue to propel the game towards whatever vision they have. Or, maybe he doesn't care. I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it. So it's all kind of up in the air right now.
Yeah.
I found it very interesting that he said any project that he has that goes on to be a huge hit, he would just kind of abandon
right.
going forward.
Right.
Like, if anything else becomes a hit, I'm out.
Yeah, like he would have a plan to say, oh, this next thing I did is huge, see ya, and take off. But this essentially puts him, this gives him, like, legendary status. In a way, this is like Kurt Cobain dying before his time in a weird way, because now anything he ever does will be from some cave somewhere where you never hear from the guy, occasionally on Twitter or whatever. And then he'll say, yeah, I've got this new demo, and the world will erupt because of what he puts out. So if anything, this will actually boost his notoriety, I think, anyway. Then rather than if, oh, he's just going to stay on at Mojang and be a creative consultant or whatever, this actually makes him more legendary. So I don't know if it backfires on him, but it may actually be more intense than he thinks.
Yeah, it's adding to his mystique.
Yeah, for
his
sure.
His aura of mystery. Yeah, I love it. He's a great guy. I hope the best for him and the rest of the founders. You know, Minecraft is a crazy phenomena, and I hope Microsoft continues to support it the way it's meant to be done.
Yep, I do too. And they've got the money and the wherewithal, and I think their new leadership has probably got the right idea. So I'm not super skeptical about this. I think it's going to be fine, and all the fanboys freaking out and rage quitting and stuff, that'll all pass, and we'll see what comes out a couple months from now. V, mm-hmm. It's always fun to talk to you. Have a fantastic flight back. And anything else going on we should pimp for you? I know you got a new store. Tell us about the new store.
Oh, yeah. Sword and Laser. We have just relaunched our new store. So you can buy digital and physical versions of the anthology. We're adding T-shirts very soon. T-shirts, of course. Artwork by Mr. Scott Johnson, which are awesome. And we've got flasks, like leather flasks, if you're into that kind of thing. We've got all the audio and video episodes on a thumb drive. So we're really excited about it. So, yeah, check it out, swordandlaser.com/store.
Yeah, go check it out, you guys. There's really good stuff on there. Always a pleasure. Have a safe flight. We will talk to you next week.
Actually, I'm going to be in Hawaii on my honeymoon.
Oh, wow. Aww. That's right. Delayed honeymoon.
Belated honeymoon.
I should probably tell you now.
We will not be talking to you next night. Monday at all.
So you
then.
Want us to, so you want us
I'm
to
sorry,
call you
I'm sorry, it's not my honeymoon.
Later,
it's my anniversary.
Right?
Oh, I see. Anniversary. We will not call you while you are on your anniversary in Hawaii. That I can promise you. But
you can, but I probably won't answer.
Wait, now what day do you... So what day is your anniversary? What actual date?
The 22nd.
Oh my gosh, you're one day off from my daughter. She'll be the 21st. That's crazy.
Weird. Yay!
Yeah, and I'm not...
It's a good time of year.
Contrary to popular belief, I'm not old enough to be Veronica's dad. I want everyone to just knock that off. I'm old enough to be her brother, but not her dad. All right?
Nice.
All right. V, have a good time. Give Ryan our best, and I hope you have a great trip.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you later.
See
you. She's a perfect fit for the Monday deal, you know? She's great.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
I'm very happy with her coming on. Okay. What are we doing now? That's it. Oh, you know what? Before right. we do emails real quick, a quick note yep. of business. I've been telling people forever that, hey, support us on the TMS Patreon. TMS is such a freaking beast that it has its own Patreon, and you guys have been amazing in supporting us there. A bunch of people are always like, yeah, I want to do that, but also, what about everything else? I want to contribute. And I'm like, well, I've got this old crappy PayPal thing on the site that sort of works, and you could do that if you want. But I told people I was
going to...
It doesn't sound good, does it?
No.
Sounds like I don't know, it's like surgery on your testicles. So nobody's interested in that.
Nobody wants surgery on their testicles.
No, they don't. I had a friend who had to have one of them removed, not for cancer, not for anything that they could ever diagnose. He had it removed because it never stopped hurting. And they could never figure out why. It was probably like a nerve problem or something. So they ended up taking one out. Just took it out. Keep it in a jar, called it Larry. Just kidding, didn't do that part.
Well, that solved it. Did solve the issue, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, fixed it. Doesn't hurt anymore. Just he walks a little to the left for some reason.
I'm thinking about having one removed just for fashion purposes.
We can call you Brian One Nut Ibbot.
That's right.
So anyway, there's a Patreon now set up for all other things Frog Pants, including art and other stuff. So I did finally set that up. I've been promising it for a while, and those who are on the existing PayPal platform can definitely move over there if they want. They can also leave it there if they want. We made it easy to just, you know, not do anything if you don't want to. But if you want to contribute to the new one, that's great. It's at patreon.com/frogpants. So the two to keep in mind always are patreon.com/TMS and /frogpants. You're welcome to support one, both, whatever. And I appreciate everybody's support. So thank you guys. And I promised I'd tell you when it's up. And it's up. All right, Brian.
Very cool. Yes, sir.
Let's do some emails, and they're brought to you by...
Have you ever felt like you're living in someone else's story?
Yes.
Have you ever wondered? Oh, yeah. I guess we got questions. Have you ever wondered if you're the monster?
No.
This is the world Thomas finds himself in as he discovers the power of magic hidden in words. Old Odd Ends, the debut novel by Patrick Elliott, is available now on Amazon in ebook and paperback. Also available on CreateSpace.
I hadn't either, and I went and looked at it. It's kind of cool. There's some neat stuff going on there, including this awesome book. Old Odd Ends. James wrote in, says, Scott, I am totally getting some deja vu with your Mendoza the Goose stories. By the way, I tried to find him yesterday. It was nowhere to be found again.
Still not. Wow.
I hope he's not dead.
Hope he's okay.
Because I want to be responsible. I at least want
to listen. There's a Frog Pants listener out there who took him out just to kind of, you know.
Yeah. He's still on Twitter, but I don't think that means anything. I used to be an assistant superintendent at a golf course in Dallas, and we had a crime lord swan. This thing would chase down workers and golfers all the time. He was well known for his bad attitude. It's been several years back, but eventually he disappeared one night, never to be seen again. Oh, no. Sounds like this. Could have been coyotes, could have been bobcats, could have been mountain lions. We actually saw one of the, on a snowy morning. However, most of our crew consistently threatened to bag him at night and cook him up. I've always liked to think that it was the latter. Anyway, I feel your pain on the violent waterfowl. Keep up the awesome James. Yeah, he's going down. I just got to find him.
Take him out.
Yeah, I'm taking him out. All right. I want to do it legally, though. I want to get him on a wrap, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want him to just disappear. He's got to be...
Sure.
You know, you got to catch him evading his taxes or committing mail fraud or something.
Right. And I don't even... Not everyone gets to have Morgan Freeman there to try to calm us down before we decide to shoot Kevin Spacey in the head. I have to be careful and not get too emotionally wrapped up in whatever's being done to me.
What's in the nest?
Oh, that movie. All right. Okay. The email to end all emails. I feel like I should do this in a voice.
This is the Huffington Post most important email. Here, play. I put a Third Eagle audio clip in the in the covers folder for you. There's a folder called Third Eagle.
Okay.
Inside there is
Third Eagle. All right. Let me pull this over. This isn't good on volume as far as you know. Should be, right?
Should be. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. We'll try it. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play it now.
And even you atheists, what is it going to take to wake you up?
Awesome.
I was
going
to give you just the, what is it going to take to wake you up?
I'd probably break that out because that's really good.
Yeah, that's the best part of it for sure.
That's really good. You know what that clip from him signifies, though? You know what that means?
What?
End times.
I walked right into that.
You did. I like it. Okay, Richard wrote in. This is what Richard had to say. Now, I want you to tell me if you can sense the irony in his email. And Richard, I'm sorry to call you out. I usually don't put troll emails on the show, but I just got to do this one.
Okay. All right.
I will never support any of your shows as long as you and Brian rush out for the latest inferior Apple product. Not only that, you can't even voice an unbiased statement on the alternatives without bashing. The new watch is inferior to the Android and Pebble watches, which are trash themselves. Yet Brian is already committed to getting one. You've talked nonstop about the Apple announcements, but you don't even mention Google I/O when it happens. And I find it hilarious you complain about not having the money to replace your year-old luxury gadget. Bah, says Richard. Now,
I know. I'm raising my hand. I know.
All right. Where's the irony in this thing?
His statement, not only that, you can't even voice an unbiased statement on the alternatives without bashing. Is that not what you're doing exactly in the sentence before and after?
Exactly all you're doing. Look, here's the difference. You and I are unabashed, open Apple fanboys. We love their stuff. I love Apple products. I always have. Sure. Sometimes I have trouble with them, and I'm not sure I want that watch. I said that the other day. But for the most part, I am like on pins and needles. Can't wait to hear what the new thing is. Like millions of other people, we're super stoked about this thing. However, I do not bash alternatives, not once. I can tell you that if you're calling me bashing the Pebble as a crappy watch, it's because the Pebble is a crappy watch. It's got nothing to do with that Apple has
with the operating system or whatever.
No, yes, and those Android ones are fine. I think he's wrong when he says they're trash themselves. I think that those Android watches are pretty cool. And I would love a round one. I don't know why we can't do that. I think round is cool.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That Moto is cool looking.
I'm a big user. Basically, you know that I have a lot of music, Richard. Yeah. I own a lot of music and store it in what I consider to be a fairly good database for storing music, which is iTunes. It allows you to access all the ID3 tags very easily, create smart playlists of grouping, apply, you know, it's completely moddable, so you can actually write AppleScript macros that apply text changes so that I can change a whole swath of information en masse really, really easily. And because I use iTunes, I've found that the interface for the music on the iPhone is a lot easier to get music in and out of from my library. Now, I've used Android. I'm the person that my family calls for support when they have problems with their devices.
Yeah, you bought a tablet, right, or something? Recently.
I do have an Android tablet. Yeah. I actually have a Windows tablet. I have an Android tablet, and I have an iPad.
Yeah.
I use the iPad most, but I'm actually pretty happy with the Surface 2 Pro. Really, really like it.
Yeah.
And I like the control and the pressure sensitivity on that more than the iPad.
Yeah.
But I'm the person that my family calls for tech support. Hey, I've got, you know, the song that I bought on Amazon, and I want to get it onto my Android, my Samsung.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, no problem. I'll come on over and give you a hand. Getting stuff around in that, it for me, being having the experience I have with my devices and such,
sure,
not bashing Android, but I had a much more difficult time getting stuff over there, probably simply because I'm not as familiar with the process of doing it.
Sure.
With Apple, it's something that automatically works well for me, and I like that.
Yeah.
Does it work better on Apple than Android? Probably not. It's probably just a different set of steps. But
the steps you do. Here's the thing, though. See, what you have just done is demonstrated my problem with this email. And again, we don't want to give too much time to trolly emails. But the point is, when we bashed anything. We don't bash anything.
Exactly.
And when Google I/O happened, we dedicated a huge chunk of time.
We absolutely did.
Yes. Of course we did. And we talked about it in the news. And we had Tom come in here and give actual like tech level analysis of what happens at Google I/O. You are being very selective with your hearing, dude. Yes, we are pro. I love Apple stuff. I do. I love it.
Right.
I also love my gaming PC. It's not an Apple thing to deal with that. I love a lot of things that don't have anything to do with Apple. But yeah, we like Apple products. We get totally excited about them. We don't get excited about Android stuff because we're not into it. You might be, and that's great. Right. But we're not bashing. The part I take issue with is the bashing thing, and then you acting like we're biased
in
when
the
you think. Yeah.
Right.
And his thing, by the way, his email subject was iSheep was the
okay,
thing.
Yeah. See.
So I can't take you seriously, Richard. I'm sorry, Dick. He probably goes by Dick. No, see, that's me doing what you're doing. I'm not going to do that. I'm just saying, don't relax, man. And if you're not going to support the show over stuff like this, there's nothing I can do for you.
Richard, let me close with this. A phone, an operating system, a computer, a desktop, a laptop, it's not a status symbol. It's a tool. I pick the tool that's right for the job. I don't go into the hardware store and say, I'm only going to buy something made by Milwaukee. No, if there's a drill that looks like it works well and does the thing I need for it to do, I'm going to buy it.
And
I'm
if
not
that happens
say,
to be
only
a,
buying,
yeah. And if it happens to be Milwaukee that did the job for you, you might be more inclined to say, yeah, I'll check out more of their tools. But occasionally, Stanley's got a great screwdriver, and you're going to walk home with that one.
Right, Black & Decker. I've got a PC right here next to me on the same desk as my iMac, and I use both of them quite a bit. When Google Chrome crashed on my Mac during this very show, Google Chrome, I went over to the PC, pulled stuff up, it was all synced and all immediate, and I used it on there. I'm not prejudiced towards one versus the other. I prefer Apple. I prefer Mac.
Yeah.
But I'm not anti anything else.
No, who cares? Coke and Pepsi, Sega, Nintendo, whatever,
exactly,
man. Go have your brand fight someplace else because we don't care. We're not interested in that at all.
All right.
I do like
Google
a lot.
We've given this guy enough time.
I like Google a lot, but ask.com is the worst. Tom Walter wrote in one final email.
Sure.
He says, gents, you mentioned the other day the possibility of a black James Bond. Twinkie, twinkie. Oh, twinkle, twinkle, back to my email in the film sack regarding a dream.
Twinkie,
twinkie. Twinkie, twinkie. I don't know why I read that wrong. regarding a dream I had about Wesley Snipes becoming James Bond one day. I believe it was Mr. Ibbotson who said, never bet black. I think it's never bet on black.
It's never bet on black, and that's a line from Passenger 57.
It's
okay.
Always bet on black. Always bet on black, not never.
Always bet on black. That's right, yes.
He says, not so laughable now, is it? Well, I guess Wesley as Bond is but never doubt the dream powers.
Yeah, so not so laughable now, is it? Well, I guess Wesley as Bond is, but never doubt the dream powers I possess. So
that's
in other words,
sense.
He's saying Wesley as Bond is laughable, but... Never doubt the dream powers he possesses.
I see. But yes, Brian never said never bet black. That is not a phrase he would have said.
He said always bet on black.
Always bet on black, and it was from Passenger 57.
Right. I might have said never bet on black because I'd never bet on seeing Wesley Snipes as James Bond.
He then says no doubt about it, Tom Walter of the Pennsylvania. That's the vampire state. Thanks, Tom.
The Walter. Amish vampires.
Yeah, you know them. Yep. It's 4:30 time for
I'm
going
to do a movie about romantic Amish vampires.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea. Will they be all sparkly or?
They will be. Well, they can't sparkle because that kind of goes against the Amish culture.
Can you have a scene?
Nothing shiny.
Here's a scene I want you to have, okay?
You can only build barns at night.
There needs to be a scene where some of the vampire Amish guys are on their cart, okay? And then some bullies come by and they jam ice cream in their face. But then... The vampires kill the boys that did it instead of turning the other cheek and driving away.
Exactly, and just driving away. Yeah. Right.
There's no Han Solo to protect them. So I know.
I like that a lot.
That's it. That's the show. Thank you all for being here. As always, you can support the show at patreon.com/TMS. You can find live links for this show at frogpants.com/live, and we do it every morning at 8 a.m. Mountain Time Zone, even for Richard. He's welcome here anytime. It's not a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can sponsor segments and that sort of thing over there at frogpants.com/TMS as well. That's our website. themorningstream@gmail.com is our email. On Twitter, Brian is at Coverville. I am at Scott Johnson, and the show is at Morning Stream. We are done. Mm-hmm. Let's get the hell out of here with some music. Unless you have anything else. Do you have anything else? I skip over anything? You're good?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
All right.
What's it going to take to wake you up?
I want to hear it again. Hold on. Okay. Just one more time. Hold on. Here it is. Okay, here he is. Right here.
And even you atheists, what is it going to take to wake you up?
I got to pull that out. That's really good. All right, Brian, you have music to share as we leave the people?
I do.
Okay.
Yes. Daniel Halstead wrote in and said, he goes by the name Bat Dan, says, Dear Brian, the 15th of September is a day I remember. You see, I was born that day. If you see fit, a request I submit for a Duran Duran cover to play.
Wow.
Thanks, Bat Dan. Dude, I love the inner Nipsey Russell that I get to pull out whenever somebody does a...
That's great.
Poem in their email. So he's a fan of Duran Duran. He's always loved their music. The song that got him hooked on their music was the theme song to the James Bond film, A View to a Kill, which he heard as a kid. And then ever since then, he's kept their greatest hits album in his car CD changer. So how about we address his childhood love of A View to a Kill, a song that Duran Duran recorded for the film, had Christopher Walken and Grace Jones and one of the Heathers, right? Heather, not Heather Locklear, Heather Thomas. Was she in there? Was she the Bond girl?
Heather Thomas? Remember. I don't think so. Was it? Maybe.
Who was it? It was, who was the...
Which movie? Which one?
View to a Kill.
She was blonde.
Yep.
Oh, crap. I'm going to have to look
it
up.
It's not Heather Thomas.
It's not Heather Thomas. It's something else.
No.
She's in other things.
Oh, and Dolph Lundgren was in that one.
What? He was?
That's what Ironic Name says.
I do not remember A View to a Kill at all. This is in...
Tanya Roberts. That's who it was.
Tanya Roberts. 85 that came out? 85.
Yeah.
Wow. All
right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's lovely.
She was, you know, more poster fodder, basically.
Tanya Roberts.
Teenage 80s poster fodder.
Beastmaster is where I remember her.
And Charlie's Angels.
And she was a replacement angel, yeah. She was like Chrissy's sister from when they put the new sister on Three's Company. Remember that?
Three's Company. Yeah, yep, exactly.
Anyway. Oh, that's bringing me back. That's great. Oh, that's right. And she was on that Chevy show. She did some stuff there. That's why I remember her from more recent.
Oh,
anyway.
Alucard says they did The Living Daylights too, I believe. No, sir. No. That was Aha. Yeah. Oh, come on.
Come
now.
On. Get it straight.
Come
buddy.
On. Come yeah. on. Actually, and that's a band right here in my hands.
Yeah.
I just bought two new CDs from Morton Harkett, the lead singer of Aha. Don't be messing with my Aha knowledge.
Wow. It's impressive.
Okay, anyway. So Duran Duran cover, that's where we were going. This came out on the Rock and Pop Meets Rock and Roll CD that came out in 2007. This was one I did a lot of searching for, finally found a used copy, and just received it about 2 weeks ago. This is great stuff. This is the Razors and their cover of A View to a Kill.
All right, we'll play it now. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Justin Robert Young, the fitness geek, Bill Duran, everyone will be here. It'll be a big party. So join us then. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
I'm meeting you with a view that you ain't kill. Face to faces in secret places, feel the chill. Night falls, covers me. But you know the plans I'm making still grow the same. Could it be the hole is open and wide? The sacred why the mystery keeping inside? The weekend's why until we dance into the fire. A bit of kiss is all we need. Dance into the fire. For you is a view to a kill. Between the shades is assassination, standing still. Snowflakes on your body, first time in years. The angels scale with a lover's rosy stain. A chance to find a phoenix for the flame. A chance to die, but can we dance into the fire? A bitter kiss is all we need. Dance into the fire.
Like you're there! End times.